We still struggle with the concept of equality in a lot of ways in our society, but the idea that only men can do certain jobs is certainly on the wane, especially jobs that have nothing to do with physical strength, like writing code to run computers. The field is male-dominated still, but there are inroads being made. People who are working to make sure that brainy women can work alongside brainy men in making our modern gadgets work. Reshma Saujani is the creator of something called Girls Who Code. That's a nonprofit working to close the gender gap in technology. It's also a book now, too, by Reshma Saujani. She began her career as an attorney and activist and politician. She ran for Congress in 2010 and lost, but Congress's loss appears to be a gain for young women who are thinking about going into computer sciences. Reshma Saujani, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. How are you today?
Doing well. Yourself?
Doing great.
So start us slowly. We all hear the term code as a verb, and for those of us who've never done it, what specifically does that mean?
Code at its basic means telling a...
Whoops. We're going to have to try to reestablish contact with Reshma Saujani. So one more attempt to get that that phone line connected to Reshma Saujani. Girls Who Code. Now, I want to make clear right up front that this is not a pejorative. We're not referring to all females as girls. This is actually written for younger readers. And as you look at the book, you realize with all the colors and all the pictures on it that that is, in fact, we're talking to girls. So we have Reshma Saujani back on the line again. Nicely done, Waleed. So when we talk about coding, it's the basic information for what? Reshma? Okay, having problems with that phone line once again. So one more attempt at this, and we'll invite you to join the conversation as well. 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or you can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. We do occasionally get cell phone fade when we talk to people on cell phones, and it appears to be what may be going on here. So I can see that Waleed is talking to her once again, and we'll have Reshma Saujani on the line once again in just a moment. The book is subtitled Learn to Code and Change the World. So it really is about letting young women, girls, in fact, know that there is a future ahead for them. Reshma, are you with us now?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. Thanks. So so back to the beginning then, when we hear about coding as a verb, what does that mean?
Coding is telling a computer what to do. It's very simple.
And so it doesn't sound as simple as that, though. Is it something that requires a fair amount of technical skills or math skills or something?
Well, I mean, people major in computer science who typically work in technology, but then you see people like Mark Zuckerberg who dropped out of college, right, and started Facebook. So, you know, I think that there's a myth that coding is really hard and you have to be a super genius to be able to do it. And we're turning that myth on its head. You know, we have girls that literally leave homeless shelters, that don't have Wi-Fi at home or in schools, that go to our programs and learn how to code. I really believe that everybody can learn how to code.
Well, you know, up until this point, though, I mean, it has been such a male-dominated field. I mean, how low is the percent of girls on track to fill the computer jobs at this point?
Yeah, less than 18% of those that graduate in computer science are women. And what's crazy is that it wasn't always this way. In the 1980s, it was 40%. So at a time where technology is disrupting everything about the way we live and work, we're actually losing women.
Does anybody know why that is, why the numbers have declined?
I think a lot of it has to do with culture. So in the 1980s, at the same time of this decline, you saw the birth of the programmer, right? The guy in a hoodie sitting in a basement somewhere, and he was drinking a Red Bull, right? And you saw him on Weird Science and Revenge of the Nerds. You see him today on Silicon Valley on HBO. And so when girls think about, when I ask girls, describe to me what a computer scientist looks like, they describe him. They don't describe themselves, which is why we wrote this book, because this book is told through the voice of women, five girls that come from all walks of life, and that tell you the story of computer science. And I think you can't be what you cannot see. And literary representation matters. Books still matter.
You report being afraid to learn code yourself until a few years ago, Reshma. Why afraid?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my father, when I was young, used to, you know, sit at the dinner table and he would quiz me math questions. And I wouldn't get the answer right away. And so I got it in my head that I was bad at math. And every time, you know, I was exposed to it, I just shut down. And I think a lot of girls feel that way. And so, you know, we have got to, and I also think a lot of girls want to change the world. And when you think about a computer scientist, you don't think about world changing. And so we have to connect technology to the things that girls are interested in, which is what we do at Girls Who Code.
So what changed your mind, though? What led to the creation of the organization?
So, you know, I was running for office in 2010. I ran for Congress. I lost miserably. But I would go into schools, and I would see hundreds of boys learning to code. And I was like, where are the girls? You know, my parents came here as refugees. I've had a job since I was 12. I am a firm believer in the American dream. And I knew that these technology jobs were the jobs of the future, where you could make $120,000 a year. And I also knew that American women were now 45% of our country's breadwinners. And so we were going to lose out, not only on innovation, but American families were going to lose out at their shot at the middle class if we didn't get half of our labor force going into this field. And so I really started this organization as an experiment to understand why. And 5 years later, we've taught 40,000 girls. And I wrote these books because every year I've had to turn girls away. You know, we're in all 50 states, but we're oversubscribed. And parents and educators would say, is there a book? Is there something I can just give my daughter? And there wasn't one. So we created 13. And two of our books came out on Tuesday. They're both now New York Times bestsellers, which we're so excited about. And I think that this book is going to be put in the hands of millions of girls, and it's going to inspire them to want to learn how to code.
The book that we have in hand is called Girls Who Code, Learn to Code and Change the World. The organization is also called Girls Who Code, GWC. Reshma Saujani is the founder of it and the author of the book. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So once you started learning code, how scary or non-scary did you find it to be?
I found it so frustrating because I, too, like to get the answer right away. And when you're learning how to code, it's all trial and error, right? The semicolon can be in the wrong, you know, in the wrong part of your line of code, and you have to do it all over again. You know, it's frustrating, but it's also liberating and freeing and exciting because you literally see what you're trying to build come to life. And you also learn, which, because I think sometimes, man, 41, so, you know, it's almost like I don't learn new things anymore. And it made me realize, like, I need to kind of take myself out of my comfort zone, like, once a month and learn something new that I think I might not be good at. It taught me how to be brave.
Taught you how to be brave?
Yeah, I mean, I did talk about this. I think coding teaches girls to be brave because I think it teaches imperfection. And I think we raise our girls to be perfect, you know, from a young age, we teach our girls to like smile pretty and play it safe and get all A's. And, you know, we don't teach them to be invigorated by challenge and risk taking and failure. And coding is all about failure. You literally are learning how to fail. And I've seen girls learn how to code and then just go on to do incredibly brave things like go to Cambodia and teach other girls to code or build an app to help fight cyberbullying. Or, you know, build a website to educate people about lead poisoning. It's amazing what code can inspire you to do.
I do love the history section of the book. I mean, what was ENIAC and what did women have to do with it?
Well, ENIAC were six women, you know, who put together one of the first computers. You know, Ada Lovelace was our first programmer. You know, many people have...
Oops, Reshma, I think you might have moved away from your base station or something. We had the same problem at the beginning. Come back. All right, let me fill time again and remind people we're talking to Reshma Saujani. She is the creator of the nonprofit organization Girls Who Code. It is also a book now, Girls Who Code, Learn to Code and Change the World. And as you heard, that there are actually two books out at the same time, both of which have become New York Times bestsellers in a hurry. So we're reaching for the phone once again. And here we are back with Reshma Saujani on the exchange. So we were talking about ENIAC, and Ada Lovelace was the name we heard.
Yeah, Ada Lovelace was you know, the world's first programmer. You know, ENIAC were six women who programmed the first computer, electronic computer. You know, Grace Hopper invented the first compiler for computer programming. There were so many kind of tremendous women that were at the forefront of this, and we don't talk about them in our history classes.
Another one is Margaret Hamilton, and we're not talking the actor who played the Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz. Different Margaret Hamilton.
No, she created the software for the Apollo program, two first portable computers. But yes.
So wow, we're talking about the computers that actually helped the astronauts get to and back from the moon. This is programmed by a woman.
Yeah, it's tremendous the things that women have done.
Okay, so let's talk about what the women today can do. We're talking about the peanut butter and jelly effect in the book, which is a great place to launch into understanding how you talk to computers.
Yeah, so you know, computers are super literal, right? So we always say if you want to make a sandwich, you want to eat, and you have to say something like locate the bread, you know, open the bag, remove two pieces, you know, lay the pieces flat on the counter side by side. It's basically what we tell girls is like when you're giving a computer a direction, imagine that you're making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's how literal you have to be.
All right, so you have to really consider the outcome of any direction. And I remember going through this in expository writing in high school, that if you give the instructions wrong for the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you end up with two pieces of bread face down on the counter with gooey stuff on them.
Exactly.
So does the book deal in one computer language, or is it a little more open-ended than that?
No, it's more open-ended. I think it teaches us, you know, the fundamentals of computational thinking, like conditionals and algorithms. It describes kind of some of the different coding languages that our girls use in our program, like C++ or Java or HTML. But it's really, I would say it's almost like a primer to get girls interested, to teach you a little bit of the basics, but also to inspire you about, you know, women that we talked about, the historical figures, but also kind of girls in our program, the things that they have built as well.
You mentioned algorithms. This is the word that gets used a lot and maybe actually is understood by a few people. When we're talking about an algorithm, what do we mean?
So I would say it's almost like algorithms. We explain them through like a muffin recipe or a morning routine. No, algorithms is basically a set of instructions that you follow to complete a task. So when I describe kind of my morning routine or an algorithm, I wake up, you know, I play with my son, Sean. I go to the gym to work. I come back and play with Sean go to the gym to work out. I come back and play with Sean, and then I head to work. That's my algorithm for my morning routine.
Okay, so it is essentially the plan or the schedule, what's
right.
going to happen. All right, so that's not the actual code. So a couple of questions then about how computers deal with the instructions we give to them. How forgiving or not is computer language? I think you already said that you got frustrated by leaving colons out, and it makes a big difference, it sounds like.
It does. I mean, I think you have to be very exact, right? And that's why with some of these great programs, you can see how a mistake in your code can like not lead to the outcome that you want. And that's why I say it teaches girls imperfection.
All right, so that's one of two questions I had about code, how forgiving, and it sounds like it's not very forgiving. And the other part is, can code writing be like writing English? Can some people be a little bit verbose more than they need to be in writing code?
I mean, yes, and I think that's, like, if ever get to play with Scratch, I think it teaches you how to take shortcuts, right? So you can actually be less verbose and that's what we call, like, a variable, that's what we call a loop, right, that you can teach it kind of to do the same thing kind of over and over and over again by writing code.
So let's come back to those then. Loops, variables, conditions, and functions are some basic terms you want people to know before they even get launched into their first project with code.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we call them at Girls Who Code, kind of like the four C's that describes two of them. And I think the point of this book is to really describe how to do what you think may be complicated things through things you do every day, like your morning routine or a muffin recipe or, you know, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
So as you learned, was there a particular part of the process of coding that you had trouble with?
You know, I think it was the first part of it was just getting my head right that it was something that I could do. You know, I thought that because I wasn't good at math, you know, I wouldn't be able to learn how to code. And let's be clear, my girls in my program are probably much better coders than I am. I learn the things that they learn, and they are continue to kind of go deep. But I think the point of coding is that I really do believe that anybody can do it. I think that anybody can be good at it. But I think the most important part is, like, we all need to kind of know what it is. You know, President Obama said this. He said, you know, the last jobs left are going to be the humans that are telling the computers what to do. So even if you don't decide to go in a technical job, you need to be able to communicate with engineers. You need to be able to know the basics. And that's what they say coding is like reading and writing. You know, it's a language that we have to make sure that our kids understand. And what's fascinating is, like, you know, our children are voracious consumers of technology. My son is 2.5, and he knows how to use a phone better than I do. You know, like, it's like he's always trying to swipe his books, and I was like, no. But, you know, we tell young girls this all the time. Like, you love Snapchat. Like, learn how to build a Snapchat filter. You know, like, we try to connect it to the things that they already are doing.
In fact, a lot of this is about teaching girls how to make apps and things like that. I mean, basically, or extensions for apps that already exist.
Well, yeah, I think it's about meeting girls where they're at. To me, it's more about, like, problem solving, right? So I think that every girl I've met out there, there's something that's dear to her heart that she wants to solve. Like, maybe her brother's dyslexic, or her mother needs to eat better, or, you know, she went to Nigeria and saw that women don't have access to water. And I think the trick for us is we connect that passion or that mission that you have in your heart to technology and say, well, hey, if you want to, you know, if you want to do something, you want to help your mom eat better, like, how could you build an app to do that? Or, you know, if you care about where Zika is going, how do you build a machine learning tool, right, to figure that out? So it's about connecting technology and different tools of technology and languages to the thing that they want to do.
Reshma Saad,
go ahead.
Just going to let the folks know we're talking to Reshma Saad Jani on the Jefferson Exchange. She is the founder of Girls Who Code and the author of a book by that same name. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I mean, the fact is that the more anybody knows about code, the more control they potentially have over what goes on around them. They understand it better.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very, like, the way that we often start with our programs is, like, we ask girls to kind of wireframe an idea, which is, you know, sitting around a table and saying, okay, if you want to build a website to help, you know, women know about jobs in their community, what would that look like? And so it's really about collaboration, you know, team building, you know, being able to take something that you may have, an idea that you may have in your head, and put it into real life.
As you got further into this yourself, what was the most fun about the process of actually writing code for you?
Well, I mean, to me, it's more, I come at it from the perspective of a teacher. And, like, you know, again, I was not a coder by profession. And so, like many girls, I came into it the same way that they do. But, you know, the reason why I come to work every day is because I really see girls who think that they would never be able to learn this, not only learn it, but, like, build something that they feel very passionately about. You know, I am a serial failed politician. I've lost 2 races. And, you know, sometimes, like, failure is the best thing that could possibly happen to somebody. And I realized that, like, in my 5 years of this work, it's, you know, I've been able to make more of a difference in teaching 40,000 girls to code in the change that they're going to make in this country and in this world than I would have as one person sitting in Washington, D.C. And that's what inspires me.
So you're not crying over spilled milk with not getting into Congress in 2010, it sounds like.
No, I'm not. But, I mean, that doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt to lose, you know, and I'm not often screaming at the television. But I still think that, yeah, I just think that girls are change makers, and I think that there's a lot of innovations that we leave on the sidelines because less than 18% of the technical workforce is female. You know, I go ahead.
Well, it raises the question, though, about the actual work conditions. We talked about how the impression is still and was for a lot of the first girls you talked to, and probably still is, that it's the guy in the hoodie with the Red Bull. I mean, so what are the working conditions like? What can you tell the girls about the kinds of careers they can go into and what the working conditions will be like?
Well, I mean, I think we're very honest, right? And I think they know when they get into their computer science class in college that they're going to be less than 15% of them are going to be girls, right? So maybe it's two out of whatever, right? And so I think they get used to the fact that they're expecting that in not only in college, but when they get into the technical workforce, right? So we try to do is build this sisterhood and this community within Girls Who Code. So, like, if they're studying, you know what I mean, computer science at CUNY, and there's another woman who's studying computer science at Columbia, and they're both, like, feeling, you know, isolated because they're the only one, they're connected to each other. And they can speak to one another and share some of the challenges that they're going through or the wins that are happening for them. So we really believe in the power of sisterhood and community to get girls to continue. Because what we forget is that, you know, within the first 3 years, almost 30%, 40% of women will leave these technical jobs. So the attrition rate is also leading to this massive decline. So, you know, we got to figure out how to get women to stay.
I want to come back to another fun history story in here. It turns out that the term for debugging a computer program involved real bugs, and a woman provided the term, Grace Murray Hopper.
Yes. She thought that there was a bug, an actual bug, and she called it debugging. our girls love that term, debugging, because, again, I think debugging is about kind of resistance and failure. But, you know, yeah, the book is, I think, you know, tremendous. We're so excited that, you know, both of them made the New York Times bestseller list a few days ago. And, you know, I really believe that, you know, it's going to make a huge difference in girls thinking about what they want to do. You know, the other companion book with this book is a chapter book series called The Friendship Code, of five girls that, like, kind of like Babysitting Club, but five girls that meet in a coding club, and there's drama and there's mystery, and they become friends and they learn a little bit of algorithms, you know, in the middle. But, you know, it's going to make a big difference.
The book we're talking about here is called Girls Who Code, Learn to Code and Change the World, the creation of Reshma Saujani, who is also the founder of Girls Who Code, is the nonprofit. And you said it's in all 50 states?
It's in all 50 states. So go on our website, girlswhocode.com, and find a club that's located by you. And if not, we'll start one.
All right. Reshma, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson
Thank
Exchange.
Thank you.